The Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. This is the word of the Lord. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, open our ears that we may hear you speaking to us, and open our hearts that we may lay hold of your Son as he offers himself to us. We ask in his name. Amen. As we turn now to the Song of Solomon, it is good that we remember from where we came, that we remember the last words of Ezekiel. What were those words? The last words of Ezekiel were these: "And the name of the city from that time on shall be, the Lord is there." And of which city was he speaking? He was speaking of the New Jerusalem. And that city is described by Ezekiel and throughout the Old Testament as a bride. And not just any bride, but as the bride of the Lord. And that is not only true of the Old Testament. It is true of the New Testament as well. Revelation chapter 21, verse 2. "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God.'" The last words of Ezekiel, we hear them in the last words of all scripture. And by these words, the end for which we were created, the end for which we have been saved, by these words, that end is made known to us. And what is that end? What is the end for which we were created? What is the end for which we have been saved? It is this: communion with God. A communion that consists in his presence with us, in his dwelling among us. And of all the images that the Lord might use to make known to us the meaning of that presence, he has chosen above all the image of marriage. His presence to us It will be as the presence of a man to his wife. And our dwelling with him, it will be as the dwelling of a woman with her husband. Let us not misunderstand. It is not the case that God's dwelling with his people is patterned after the marriage of a husband and wife. Rather, the marriage of a husband and wife is patterned after God's dwelling with his people. The relationship of marriage, it exists in the end for this purpose: to make known to us the fullness of our relationship to the Lord. The world began with a marriage, the marriage of the first man and the woman formed from his side. But though that was the first marriage, it was the mere shadow of a far greater marriage. That first marriage was the shadow of that marriage with which this world will end: the marriage of Christ to the church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. The institution of marriage, it is a revelation of the Lord and his bride. It is a revelation of Christ and the church. As a husband gives himself to his wife, so Christ gives himself to the church. And as a wife gives herself to her husband, so the church gives herself to Christ. But we must not stop there, for the scriptures do not stop there. For marriage does not consist only in the love that first unites a husband to his wife and a wife to her husband. Marriage consists also in that love that a husband enjoys with his wife and a wife with her husband. Marriage is not only a uniting of two persons. It is a communion of those persons. Marriage, it is not only a covenant of love, it is a communion of love. It is a communion of joy. We find love in all sorts of relationships. We find it between fathers and mothers and their children. We find it between brothers and sisters. We find it between friends. But there is a kind of love that does not belong to those relationships. There is a kind of love that may only be found in marriage, a love that is consummated in the bed of marriage, a love that expresses itself in sexual desire, It is there that a husband gives himself to his wife in a way that he gives himself to no other. It is there that a wife gives herself to her husband in a way that she gives herself to no other. Which brings us to the Song of Songs. In our Bible, the title given to this book is the Song of Solomon. And that is true enough, for we are told that the song was Solomon's. But that is not the true title of this book. It is not the title that the book gives to itself. How does the book introduce itself? Not as the Song of Solomon, but as the Song of Songs. What does that mean? The Song of Songs. Well, as the King of Kings is king over every other king, and as the Lord of Lords is Lord over every other Lord, so the Song of Songs is king and Lord over every other song. Its glory, its beauty, its joy surpasses every song that can be sung. What is the song? What is it about? What sort of song is it? It is a love song. It is a song of love. It is a song about the love between a husband and wife. A love that expresses itself in longing. A love that expresses itself in desire. And yes, a love that expresses itself in pleasure. Here in this song, we will discover that erotic love is not a lesser love. Here we will discover that erotic love is the very language of our communion with God. The one who reads this song as being confined to the love of Solomon for his bride, he is as one who limits himself to the eating of herbs when a feast is laid before him. If the first man and woman's becoming one flesh was a shadow of Christ becoming one flesh with the church, then this song concerning the love between a husband and a wife, it is a shadow of that song of love between Christ and his bride. We should hear in the voice of the bride the voice of the church. And we should hear in the voice of the husband, the voice of Christ. This song of songs, it is in the end a song about Christ's love for the church and the church's love for Christ. It is a song between them, a song that he sings to her and that she sings to him. A song concerning love that expresses itself in longing. A love that expresses itself in desire. And yes, a song of love that expresses itself in pleasure. That pleasure in this life, its nearest expression is the pleasure of marriage and the marriage bed. The Song of Songs, it has been described as the most holy place of Scripture. This song is a holy place, even the most holy place, for it brings us into the innermost chamber of our Lord. And there we are made to know better his love. And there we are inflamed by his love and return that love to him in love. It has been said of this book, here love speaks everywhere. If anyone desires to grasp these writings, let him love. For anyone who does not love, it is vain to listen to this song of love. We will not understand the words of this song until we love the one who sings them to us. We will not understand this song until we desire him with the desire of the bride for the bridegroom. The song begins with that desire. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. It is the desire for his love. This longing for his lips. But why should we desire the kisses of his mouth? Why should we long for the touch of his lips? Because his lips are anointed with grace. Because there is no deceit in his mouth. Because his breath is the sweet fragrance of truth. Why should we desire the kisses of his mouth? Why should we long for the touch of his lips? Because when he kisses us with the kisses of his mouth, our lips are anointed with his grace. When he kisses us with the kisses of his mouth, we taste his goodness. When he kisses us with the kisses of his mouth, we breathe in his love. If this makes you blush, then you have heard it rightly. You have listened well. For his love, it is so pure. It is so strong. It is so true. That it overwhelms the one who comes to know it. That is why it is said that his love is better than wine. Wine is intoxicating. It warms the body. It gladdens the heart. It can leave us utterly giddy. It can bring us to say things that we would not ordinarily say, and to do things that we would not ordinarily do, such as to sing or to dance without constraint. And of course, it can be abused if one drinks it too much or too often. But see, that is why his love is better than wine. Because we cannot drink it too much or too often. The more we drink of his love, the greater our love becomes. The more we drink of his love, the greater we become. His love frees us from ourselves. It frees us from our pride. It frees us from our shame. It frees us from our worry. It frees us from our fear. It gladdens the heart and fills us with joy. Joy that leads us to sing and even to dance without constraint. In his love, we are free. In his love, we learn what it means to love and to be loved. In his love, we learn what it truly means to be in love. Behold this love. This love that took our flesh, that we might become one flesh with him. See this love that is engraved upon his hands and his feet. See this love that flows from the wound in his side. See this love that clothed itself in humility, that humbled itself to death. This love that washes us and cleanses us and clothes us in righteousness and glory. Truly, truly, his love is better than wine. May you be intoxicated by his love. May you be filled with his love. May it cover you and surround you until there is nothing left in you that does not know his love. May it strengthen what is weak in you. May it cleanse what is false in you. May it heal what is broken in you. See this love. There is nothing greater. There is nothing better than his love. What then shall we say? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Amen.